Dracarys.
Dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural. Winter is coming.
Hey, welcome again, everybody, to another episode of the Side Effect Podcast. We have a lot of stuff lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about all sorts of areas in the geekdom world, like Walking Dead. We got Star Wars. We got some of the stuff from Game of Thrones. A lot of goodies set up for you here. But first, just going to quickly run down everyone who's a part of the podcast. Myself, Kevin, from the Bat Productions. We also have Val from Because Geek. Rarst from the YouTube channel, Rarst. And we have Tarzan from Trial by Trivia. And also Chris from Smokescreen. But first, before we get into all of the different things that we want to talk about at length, we're going to start off with stuff from you, the viewers. So first, we're going to follow up on the question. What is a Game of Thrones Season 8 tinfoil type prediction that you have going on? And Val is going to read off some of the stuff that was submitted to us.
Yeah, so we're actually going to be using your answers as our content for this week's podcast, for the Game of Thrones topic at least, because a lot of these were really good. So let's start off with Pegleg Pete.
Pegleg Pete's the best. Tom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tom, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Tommy.
So what did he say? He said, Danny dies. Okay, that's not too tinfoil. All right, we all know. We're all expecting this.
No. Let me see if he's going. She's not going to die.
She's going to be massacred. Yeah.
You know what? After this season, after what David and Dan have been doing, like not killing anyone, kind of expect that to keep happening. You know? Maybe that's the twist. Maybe they were like making us used to not seeing people die, so that they can kill everyone, and it's like the biggest twist in the last season. I don't know.
I don't think Dany will die. I do think she'll die tonight.
No, wait. Okay. I'm sorry. I screwed this up because he had a reason for saying this. Okay,
God,
he said that Dany dies, but because after that happens, Jon marries Sansa and Arya.
Oh my lord!
And we now have Aegon and his two sister wives.
Yeah, so the
Tom,
the repeat
you're trolling. Tom, you are trolling us. I know 100% you are a fucking troll. That is disgusting.
Wait a minute, he was the best a minute ago.
No.
Yeah.
Tom, we're on to you.
Yeah, no, come on. That's crazy, but that is what we asked for, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm weirded out by that idea. I mean, like, I gotta tell you,
you don't
want to
see a Jon, Sansa, Arya sandwich?
I could live with the Jon and Sansa thing, but Arya freaks me out nowadays. I could not imagine living in a household with that lady. I'm acting as if it's a traditional home from like Leave It to Beaver in the 50s. Right. But still, I mean, she's like a guard dog. That's good. But, you know, otherwise. Ugh.
Well, you want to know what? Aegon did have the more prissy sister who was all about being a lady and music and stuff. And then he did have the more hardcore warrior sister. So
that is true.
Kind of works out. There we go.
I don't know. I don't think John's that kind of guy.
I don't think so either. I think he's going to have a hard enough time once he figures out Danny is his aunt.
If you remember the original draft of this whole thing, there was supposed to be a love triangle that involved Arya and John.
And Tyrion, right?
Yeah, and Tyrion. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I was going to say that... I forgot what I was going to say. Shit. No, I was just going to tell you guys to picture John and Sansa together, because like that's like something that's just, it's just so impossible to happen. It's just so weird. Like, they would not be able to, even if they wanted to, they would not be able to have sex and have
kids.
That
would be the worst marriage ever.
Oh my god. Oh. Okay, anyways, let's move on to the next answer from, and again, oh my god, I will never, like, can you just tell me how to pronounce your username, because I don't know still if it's Aconda or Aconda.
Oh yeah, right? I wonder about that too.
Yes. Aconda, separate is separate.
Okay, I like it. Aconda is saying, basically Jaime will get a Valyrian steel sword mounted on his right arm, and he will be restored in full glory when fighting in the Great War.
That's kind of cool. I like that idea.
I like
it. Yeah.
Instead of that useless gold hand.
Yeah.
But I was going to say it would be better than the white hand that the Hound cut off. You know, the one that Qyburn was looking at?
Yeah. He was eye-fucking the thing.
Boom Boom Jazz, who says, Euron using the Golden Company to take over the throne from Cersei.
Oh, yeah, that's very possible.
I could see it. I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, Euron's a super ambitious dude. He wants, you know, the throne and pretty much everything for himself, you know, in the end. So it makes a lot of sense that he's like, now that I have them, I know that you paid them, but that's okay. They probably see my fleet and they're like, hey, why don't we just take the throne with this guy? He seems to know exactly what the vision is. And he's making a lot of sense to us. So why not go with him instead?
It seems a bit too predictable. Like,
yeah, them actually either breaking a contract or following Danny or whatever, their first one would make more sense to me.
Well, at some point in time, everyone's going to have to know about the White Walkers, right? That's going to make a lot of difference in everything.
Well, you'd think so, except if your name is Cersei and you're a moron.
You know. But since we have no Blackfyres in the show, they probably will follow a Targaryen. I don't know.
Well, that's if we really don't have any Blackfyres, unless Varys is the Blackfyre. Tinfoil.
I like it.
Why does he shave his head all the time?
He's a mermaid. God damn it, he's a merman.
Well, he's a merman Blackfyre. They've evolved.
Oh, I like this.
That's why he wears the long robes to hide his scales.
All right, let's move on to Thunderclap's answer.
Ooh, Thunderclap.
Euron sailing into Volantis with Yara strapped to the prow with her lips sewn shut and a swollen belly. Holy crap.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, damn.
Shit.
That's perfect.
I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I feel right at
home. I don't think that'll happen. Right. I don't think that'll happen in the show, but that sounds badass, really.
I mean, we know it happens in the books. It's just not Yara.
Yeah.
It's another chick he knocks up. Because he's a psycho.
He is, but that's what makes him so great. I happen to like the psychotic characters.
Plus the Valyrian steel armor. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I doubt we'll see that in the show, too. But just that chapter shows what Pillow Aspect was talking about when he said that he would make Ramsay look like a little kid. Like, that is it right there.
Still waiting, though. My gosh. Like, next season, I think, has great potential for him to do that. But, man, it was a big letdown this past season.
Yeah, when he said that about this season, Ramsay's going to look like, what was it, a puppy?
Puppy dog.
Yeah, and I was like, really? You didn't really do that much. But yeah, if he ends up impregnating Yara, cutting out her tongue and attaching her to the front of his ship, that would be awesome.
I do like the cutting out her tongue idea. I think that is very possible.
I can roll with that. But so far, the worst we got was, you know, him asking Jaime if there was a finger in the bomb. Like, that's about it.
I was going to say, it won't roll off her tongue.
Where's the... There it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody gets one.
We don't get enough of those around here.
My bad. Joseph Ashley says, Sandor gets over his sphere using one of the flaming swords to kill the mountain. I think so. I've been saying this.
Same.
He's going out by fire.
I fully agree.
Yeah, that would be amazing for him to kill his older brother with what he used to disfigure him.
Exactly. I think that's kind of what he meant with that whole third person thing. You know what's coming for, you've always known. You know what I mean? That's the way I took it.
See, well, I just assumed he was talking about himself, because I thought he said, who's coming for you. But I still, regardless, I think it's both. I think he has to face, like, his two biggest fears in life at the same time. Well, here's just to add to it, then, and this is something that I admit, I think this, but I don't know if you all agree. Adding to that, do you think that the Hound is going to survive the conflict?
I think he will, but will he make it to the end? Probably not.
Oh, okay. Because I have to admit, I believe that the Hound's going to die doing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. The whole thing with his arc about not caring about revenge anymore is what I kind of dug about his arc. But I don't know. Now that they had that little confrontation, makes me wonder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got it. They're going all fan service here, you know? So.
I mean, he did mention a little, right before pretty much him and Arya split up, you know, he told Arya the story about him and his brother, and he said maybe we'll both cross the name off our list. So yep. I'm thinking maybe that's maybe they had it planned the whole time. I don't know.
This one is pretty long, but I think it's gonna be good. Anya Getman. 007 Dario is three heads of the dragon Blackfyre double agent extraordinaire. Or Euron jokes that he's using Cersei with the Golden Company but the joke will be on him. Remember how Howland Reed saved Ned Stark's butt at the Tower of Joy? Dario will save Theon's butt fighting Euron, but will let Theon take credit in front of Yara. Then Dario and Theon will lead the Golden Company, Second Sons, and Ironborn to bail out Dany. TV Dario will be combined with young Griff / Aegon, just a wee bit older than Jon, which syncs up well, and therefore might really be the son of Illyrio and Sierra? Are you talking about Sierra here? Sierra being the Blackfyre? Okay. Now you will have the young Griff claim, the Jon claim, and the Dany claim. Three heads of the dragon, by working together and not fighting each other, they will break the wheel.
So Kevin, how do you feel about that?
Wow, that is some intense stuff. So are they saying that Dario ends up being the third?
Yes.
No. I don't think that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are bringing up the idea of seeing Dario again. I'm not certain we ever do.
I don't think we will.
Okay, remember,
I don't think
this is a tinfoil theory.
I know, but like, you know, I mean, otherwise we're just saying, okay, it sounds great. I mean, but I like the creativity that goes along with it. The fact that, like, if he joins up the Golden Company and I wouldn't quite see the tying in with Theon thing, but I guess it makes sense if Theon's going to try and get Yara back. So I kind of like that, and I sort of like the idea of if Dario were to come back and he would try to, like, you know, be like, hey, Dany, remember me, the boy toy? Are we still on? And then she's like, nah, got a guy. He's right here. His name's Aegon. He's a Targaryen like you. Just saying. So in a way, I guess that's kind of cool, but I don't know. What about other people?
Is it annoying anyone, by the way, when you say John in a video? Have you got people that do this? His name is Aegon, not John. I'm like, oh, no, bitch. His name's John. Go fuck yourself.
That has happened. I've written back. I'm like, listen, okay, I know it's officially Aegon now, but guess what? No one's going to call him that next season. He's still going to be John. He's going to want to be called John.
Yeah, he's not going to change his name to Aegon. He's going to keep it as John.
Yeah.
So
has anyone else heard it? Because I know me and Rara's to have.
No, I have not. I have not made any more videos ever since my last one, so.
Still on that Game of Thrones hangover.
There's that.
In a way, that's kind of a silly, thinking about that, it's kind of a silly statement. I have not made a video since my last video.
Shut up, Kevin.
It's always going to be that way, Val.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think will happen with Theon?
So are we moving on to predictions? Euron?
I hope Theon rescues Yara, but at the cost of his own life. And so he knows that he finally
redeemed himself
completely.
That's the way I actually predict it to go down.
Yep. In his last moments, and he can finally have peace. That's kind of how I want it to go down.
Oh, do you think we'll end up with a Reekish version of his sister?
I could see the tongue thing, but I wouldn't see a full Reek thing, though.
Yeah, I don't think Euron's committed to that kind of thing.
I think his attention span is also very different than Ramsay's.
Yeah, so I tend to agree with the Theon assessment. I believe that he's got to, like, his thing at this point is he's got to be sacrificing himself to totally redeem his character. I know he's already pretty much done that. But he still has kind of that, like, debt to Yara to pay back, especially after being a coward, let alone just Yara risking her neck to try to save him, three seasons ago or something. I definitely see that being the end for Theon as well.
Yeah, you know, I felt really bad for Theon because he wanted Dany to help him get his sister back. Like, do you guys remember that when he got back to Dragonstone after the attack?
And then we never see him talk to her. That was the thing. It was like, he makes that, and then we never see that conversation. I'm like, wouldn't she want to talk to Theon and, like, have a conversation about what happened and everything else? I'm sure they had it, but it would have been nice to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And then Jon is like, well, go for it, man. I'm not going to give you any help because I'm a jerk.
Hey, I dug that conversation, man. He needed to forgive him for what he could.
Why are you still standing here?
And that's why he stood up on the beach and took that ass whooping like a man and then still trudged forward. Damn it.
But I kind of feel like that conversation was a setup for John when he's like, you know, you don't have to choose. You're a Stark and a Greyjoy. I was like, fuck you guys. I know what you're doing. You're making this a setup for John, accepting he's Targaryen and Stark.
Okay, let me talk about one thing here. All right. I know this one girl was really, really against the idea, and some other people, a lot of people are, really against the idea of Bran warging into the Ice Dragon. Because, okay, the argument I heard was that Bran can only warg into living things. And I don't think we have seen any proof for this anywhere.
No, I don't think so either.
I also would not be surprised if David and Dan don't give a crap about rules and crap like that, and they just make it happen. Because it would be cool to see.
Oh, absolutely. It does seem too easy, though, I have to admit. You know.
What? It's not easy? Are you kidding me? It would be hard.
I mean, I don't know what would lead up to it, but it's like, oh, we have this all-powerful undead ice dragon zombie.
No.
Oh, boy. Okay. Reel it back. Let's bring it back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Listen. So it would be difficult, and it would take a lot of power from Bran in a way, I guess. And all he would be able to do is just hold the dragon in place. Like, he wouldn't be able to use the dragon to move him in any way. It would just be holding him in place so that someone else can
shoot. I don't think Bran's going to be anywhere near combat. I think he's going to be more like fucking tower controller.
Well, yeah, he doesn't need to be all that close. He can work things like that. I think he's going to be more of a
seeing in the future and telling people what to do type shit. But I
don't know. I'd like to see him get involved directly. You know, whether it's the Nymeria's wolf pack.
I like that. That's cool. That's cool. That's a very good idea.
Oh, shit. I think we'll see them again. The wolves. I forgot about those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to see them again. It would make sense because, I mean, why bring Nymeria back for, like, one scene to not use her again, right? I mean,
you could argue it's kind of like the Jon and Theon thing. It was having that conversation supposedly for Theon just to, you know, help Jon out later on. Whereas in that conversation, it was like, oh, yeah, you're past this part of your life. You don't want to go to Winterfell with me. Okay, fine. Just pointing out that Arya is a different person to you. I don't think so. I actually think she's going to have a purpose, Nymeria, but I don't know. Just being smart, I guess. So actually, the question I want to ask you all, because that's it's a really hot button topic right now, I think, and especially from one of the videos I did. I got a lot of backlash, is the whole Bran theory about possibly being the Night King at some point.
God fucking hell.
I disagree, too.
We made fun of that the entire... Remember Fan Expo, Val? We made fun of that so fucking hard.
Oh, yeah.
I made a video about it, and a lot of people, they're just hammering me about... They're like, you don't understand time travel rules or basic time travel. I'm like, time travel's made up. It's not a thing.
You don't understand, Kevin.
And they're like, listen, no. Because I said at one point, okay, so the rough theory, and you all correct me if I say anything wrong, is the theory is that, let's pretend right now present Bran is present. In the future, whenever that is, and we'll say it's a month from now, whatever, Bran, after trying to make like several attempts to, you know, alter the past, I guess, some even pepper in the idea that that's where the Mad King theory comes in, where he went back in time and... He was whispering to the Mad King, and that's why the Mad King went nuts and was always saying burn them all, meaning burn the White Walkers and the Whites instead of people, which I don't think makes sense because he ended up burning some Starks and thought that was pretty funny. Clearly not White Walkers. Anyway, so there was that, but eventually, last resort, he ends up going to the pass and warging into the last man, whoever, or one of the first men, whoever it was, that was about to be turned into the Night King using the dragon glass in his chest. And he got trapped in that body and therefore became the Night King. And that's really kind of the gist of the main thing here.
Okay, so now what does the Night King want to do? Bran the Night King, what does he want to do?
Destroy all humans.
Why?
And also, from the research I've looked up, it seems that it's unlikely he could ever warg into... like, with the whole time loop thing, it's like it'd be unlikely because the Night King's just, you know, kind of too powerful for that.
Yeah, Boromir couldn't do it. That's what I'm saying. He...
Yeah, and that lady was going fucking crazy. That was horrible. How crazy. And she's, like, just gouging herself. And, yeah.
Because that was...
I fucking hate that chapter. Yeah. And I guess they're talking about how it was easier with Hodor, but it's so sad, like, where he goes in his head when Bran... Like, he goes a place where Bran can't touch him, and it's like... It's so sad when you think about what he does to him each time.
Oh, absolutely. He's like a little toy soldier, basically.
So, knowing how much of a struggle it is, and okay, yeah, he's the three-eyed raven, whatever, maybe he's more powerful now, but okay, he's going to go back in time and then still have the power to take control of another human? Like, it's just, that's a really powerful being. So is that how powerful he's gotten?
Why would he get stuck? That's the other question. It's
I think in the middle of the transformation, somehow the magic, like, counteracts his old magic and he gets trapped. I again, all made up. You're right about that.
How do you think fans would feel if it turns out that that's a big twist, that Bran is actually the Night King?
Most people would hate it. The people who propagate this bullshit would love it.
It's true.
All right. If so, we're basically talking about predictions, right?
Yes.
Yes, for season 9, yeah. Though.
So, for season 9, gotcha.
For fan fiction.
Reality-based. So let's get reality-based here just a little bit. 6 episodes. Longer filming schedule. What does that mean? A lot of CGI, a lot of battle scenes, correct? That's what causes longer?
Yeah.
Okay. So adding all this crazy new storyline is not going to happen. You've already got storylines. You got what's going to happen with Cersei, whatever the fuck's going to happen with Euron. You got the Jon and Dany thing. You know what I mean? There's not enough time to add a whole new fucking plot to this thing. There's no fucking way. There's no way. I'll bet whatever. I'll eat fucking 20 habaneros on fucking camera. There ain't no fucking way that's going to happen. It ain't going to happen. There's not enough time. Everybody has these theories, and that's great. And I think, you know, some of these theories are awesome. But for the show, there's not enough fucking time to do all that. There's no way. See, one thing about Dan and Dave is they're not very sublime about how they do shit. They're very, you know what I mean? Even like R plus L equals J. And I remember having a camera in my face about that damn fucking thing. But that's what they've hinted at the whole time. You know what I mean? I mean, it was obvious.
How dare you? How dare you? David and Dan are two of the best show writers and directors in the history of the world, Tarzan. They are so subtle. Okay. The grace in which they handle
things
is so much. I cry every time I even think about them. That is how beautiful they are.
I mean, they have done a really good job at keeping N plus A equals J under wraps, so.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. I think you need to step off.
Oh, shit.
Nah, I mean, am I right, though? I mean, there's not enough time to add.
No, we do have to get a big twist about the Night King. You cannot have this thing end without knowing what his purpose is, but...
Yeah, well, couldn't it just be what he's basically created for, you know, to fight off man?
Well, no, I didn't... Well, what I was thinking, the idea that I liked was that he was just only fighting men that, like, they can sense
the first men blood?
No, like the men that... Oh, that's an interesting idea. But no, I was thinking the men that want to start war or the men that have killed others or the men that... I don't know, because they have killed a lot of children and women, so that doesn't really make sense there.
Children and women can start wars.
No, but like the little girl in the very first episode, is that...
The wildling girl.
Yeah, yeah. Would you expect that girl to... I mean, like, you know... Okay, this is not going...
You're fact-checking as you talk. Really
God damn it. Thank you.
Get him,
okay, so yeah, never mind, okay? Never mind. I just killed my own theory, god damn it.
Yeah, I just don't think it can be as simple as he just tries to kill everybody and then they stop him. That's, to me...
I really hope not.
No, you all know I think he's going through the God's eye for whatever reason. I've said before, I think that maybe Dragonglass, you had all this build-up with Dragonglass, and it's probably not going to work on him because he's got a piece in his fucking chest, so he needs it removed.
I think your theory actually kind of is the most interesting. I'd be content with the idea that he's just doing what he was created to do. However, I would not be content if he ended, they were stopped really easily. That would I be really upset about. Because right now, I mean, he's on a draft. Like, he could get anywhere in Westeros pretty quickly now. So there's got to be some kind of just chaos.
Yeah, I think there's going to end up being a team John and Danny sandwich. They're going to have to keep retreating south, and then Cersei's going to try some shit from the south if the Golden Company or the remaining Lannisters will listen to her, but I'm not sure if that'll happen or not. But She'll try to attack the living and kind of team up with the Night King unknowingly or indirectly.
Will that happen, though, you think, with the... I don't know. I think just the Euron thing is inevitable,
yes, because she's
too.
A moron.
So. Exactly.
Well, no, fuck her. Yeah, she's an idiot. She's going to die. There's no doubt about that.
I hate her.
I mean, I'm just saying that would give a good reason for Jaime to head back south at some point and then choke the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. There's more storyline. We got to know what's going to go on with Jaime. He's obviously going to head to Winterfell, I guess. You guys agree on that?
I think so, yep. They got to have the Bran Jaime reunion. And
oh, it's going to be so awkward. I'm going to love it. I cannot wait.
I think Jaime's going to be weirded out, and Bran's going to feel nothing.
He's going to go, no shits. Hey, dude, sorry I pushed you out a window because I was banging my sister. Bran's going to be like, eh, it's cool.
Sometimes you got to bang your sister, man. I get it.
I think, I can't remember if it was in a podcast, or I think it was the last podcast or something. Someone got angry at me for saying that Bran should thank Jaime for pushing him out the window. I was joking, okay?
If I had to guess, it was probably me.
I mean, also, you have to realize it's the internet, and we have an culture, yeah. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. People are just going
to
be fucking
I just wanted to clarify.
Have the John Jaime conversation.
But again, you know, you're talking about all this storyline. John hasn't even fucking... We haven't seen him and Arya and Bran fucking hit on screen yet. You know what I mean? There's no way to add these new storylines.
That's pretty hot. Hot.
Tarzan, what did you just say?
What did I do?
You said we haven't seen John, Arya, effing Bran on screen yet.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
We know what you meant, Tarzan. That's hot.
I've been hanging around
Rob
to listen to Robert.
You've been on my Tumblr fan fictions.
I don't know. Remember the Aegon and his sister theory that was brought up earlier? You never know.
But I'm saying, show-wise, there ain't room for all this new... You know, everybody comes up with these theories. It's great, but you're going to have to get grounded here. It's not going to happen. It's going to be mostly action, and the storyline's, you know, the big storyline's going to be with Jon, how Cersei's going to die, and something now with the Greyjoys, and I'm missing one, ain't I?
Targaryen baby.
Yes, incest Clegane baby.
In Clegane Bowl.
You know, the Targaryen baby, now that you brought it up, that was something the other day I put in my predictions, but I both believe that there's going to be a Targaryen baby, but I also believe that Daenerys is going to be killed by Jon. So, timeline-wise, does that work even? Like, genuinely, I kind of want to brain... Like, that means 9 months, unless there's some magical, immaculate conception going on.
I mean, it took 7 seasons for the White Walkers to get to the Wall. Maybe in season 8, we flash forward. 6 years later, they make it to Winterfell. Yeah. And then the fight happens. You don't know.
Part of the season 9 predictions.
There we go.
They're going to build a giant sled. They're going to pull in with those fucking magical chains.
Oh, God
they got.
Damn it.
That's going to be a fun ride.
That would be a fun ride, wouldn't it?
But no, I was just thinking, like, the hardest thing to predict right now is what's the Night King going to do next? Is he going to skip over Winterfell? Is he going to attack Winterfell? You know, like, and what's happening in King's Landing? Because we know that, you know, the Red Keep is going to get destroyed at one point. How is that going to happen? I don't think Winterfell... Can Winterfell get destroyed? Is the Ice Dragon going to destroy some walls in Winterfell?
I think the Ice Dragon will be the one to do the Red Keep. I think they'll try to hole up in Winterfell, but they're not... And they will certainly attack it, but it'll probably fall. And they'll have to fall back or whatever.
Ooh.
So everybody thinks it's going to be in the north. I think he's coming all the way.
Yeah, you know, I feel like they're going to, like, kind of skip Winterfell. Not really skip. Like, if anyone fights the Whites, they will attack whoever's fighting them. But they will kind of just...
Right. I mean, think about it. They just passed the wall, and they didn't none of them head west to go to Castle Black. So you still have the Night's Watch over there. I mean, not many of them. But they didn't go... They didn't worry about the other castles, West Watch and Castle Black. They're just marching south. Yeah. So they're heading to a destination.
You know, I didn't think about this till this exact moment, and I feel like I either could be a genius or you all are about to check me real quick. But didn't Bran also build Winterfell? Like, isn't there a possibility there could be magic around that?
Yeah, no, yeah. Bran the Builder was supposed to build Winterfell,
yeah,
and he started the Stark
End, supposedly,
line.
And the Hightower.
Yeah,
real,
that's
maybe.
Actually a popular theory going around that the walls of Winterfell have magic in them, and then the Ice Dragon's not going to be able to do anything, or the Whites are going to get repelled or something.
I thought I was brilliant for a second.
Well,
yeah, you know nothing's what? Original.
You came up with it on your own, and that makes you brilliant, Kevin.
Thank you, Val.
Kevin, you are special, and we love you.
I genuinely thought I was like, wait, get the heck out of here. Wait, I made a connection.
I'm already boxing up your participation medal.
Oh, thank you, God. You go. It's about Val time went, to get a medal for something.
Val went full Fred Rogers there for a minute.
I was so excited, and it was just ripped away from me.
No, but seriously, because, hey, some people can come up with that shit on their own. You know, they will see it online. So.
That's okay. Well, I will follow up and say, I think that's brilliant. That would make sense. Because all they keep talking about is like, okay, well, we're just going to wait for the Army of the Dead to roll over Winterfell first. So have fun dealing with them. And it would be pretty cool if it's like, whoa, surprise of the century. Winterfell is not getting rolled over. And the Night King's like,
all right. It's already burned before, so I don't know.
Yeah, but maybe against the Night... It's biased against the Night King.
Yeah.
Obviously, they got to find out what the secret is before he gets too far, right? So where does that leave Gilly? Because Sam's up north. I think the answer is still in those fucking books somewhere. I could be wrong, though, but...
Yeah, Gilly already told the answer, just Sam wasn't listening.
No, he was!
I know.
No, but...
No. I'm talking about how to defeat the Night King. Yeah. You remember Sam said that? I believe the book is in the Citadel somewhere, and I'm too busy, you know, cleaning shit pans and how many times of maester shits and all that stuff.
What I thought was that what Gilly told him in that moment was the answer. Like, it's not... It doesn't sound like, you know, like a literal, here, you grab this weapon and you use it against the Night King. It's like the fact that Jon is a Targaryen... Or, like, the baby of ice and fire is the answer to defeating the Night King. Like, that's the way I took it.
Right, and he kind of said that indirectly. Was like, the answer to defeating the Night King's up here dusty on a shelf somewhere or something like that. And she had the book right there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But, yeah, I also think, like, Sam and Bran will figure it out.
I think we'll definitely see Gilly again. She's not out of the picture yet. We'll definitely see her.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know how much of a role, though. She may have fulfilled her purpose with the books. I'm not sure she's going to contribute too much, but
it all depends. I mean, you know, where the word's going to get. I mean, obviously here within the next fucking, I would say 4 episodes, the whole country's got to know about the White Walker problem. That would include the Citadel and I would guess the Iron Bank and everybody else, right? Somehow this shit's got to get out, right? I'm picturing an all-out war in my head. That's what I'm picturing. Every fucking body.
I mean, Gilly also has the last one of Craster's sons, so maybe that's something.
I don't think... I know there's been a lot of theories on that. I don't think he's going to be relevant.
I don't either, honestly, now.
He was just easy
bodies.
They
were active way before all that shit, building their little army there. I mean, it may come into play into how he turns White Walkers or something to certain, you know...
Well, it might like, protect Gilly or something. Like, it's not going to be, like, this huge reveal, but it's going to... It might... Something might happen with little Sam. I mean, you know, nothing too exciting, but I just feel like, yeah, I also feel like Gilly's not going to do anything other than what she already did.
It would feel I think it would feel cheap if she, like, came up with the answer how to beat them. I'm like, come on, man. Like, like of all the people, it's got to be Gilly, and this is the second, like, she already dropped arguably the biggest bomb in the whole series.
she might just be there.
Yeah, I mean, she learned to read for that, and that was it.
Exactly. So. But now she might just be there for Sam, as a way for Sam to, you know, continue to man up. I mean, he's already manned up a lot, but, like, just to have someone to protect, I feel like, will help Sam's plot. Might.
Yeah, he's got to use Heartsbane.
Oh, yeah, I wonder who I think he'd give that sword to somebody. I don't think Sam will fight, though, man. Unless they break in or they, you know, threaten Gilly. I don't think he's going to be, like, on the battlefield. I don't think that.
Oh, I need him to fight. That would come on.
Yeah,
like he's a character just like there are people that I need to see fight before it's done. Like Sam is one of them because I mean everyone always made fun of him as Sam the Slayer, and I know because he accidentally killed someone out of protection or killed a walker out of protection. But it'd be nice to see him. You know, he's gone through this progression. He took a child. Sort of as his own. He stole the sword from his father, who's like miserable. He had sex. That's great. He's growing up. So that'd be great if he battled. But just to throw in there real quick, another person I will I will be so upset if we don't see them with a sword in their hand. It's Daenerys. I need that to happen. You're on the back of a dragon. Just put a sword in your hand and be cooler.
Yeah, something, even a bow, you know. I'd be happy with that. Some dragon glass arrows.
But then you'd have to have some kind of training montage. Yeah, exactly. So we don't have time for that.
A training montage.
To the Rocky IV soundtrack.
Hearts on fire.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about the thing here, okay? Who lives, who dies?
Oh.
Come on. Let's get meaty.
All right, everybody. So we're going to try to predict whether or not these characters from Game of Thrones are going to die or live by the end of the next season. So we're going to go rapid fire here. First, we're going to start off with, I think, a tough one. Bran Stark.
He'll be alive, but he won't be Bran anymore.
Dead.
Val?
House Stark doesn't exist.
Dead.
I also say dead, but that is a tough one.
Dead.
All right. Next one's Beric.
Beric gives his life to bring the Hound back to life. So dead.
Dead.
No, he gives his life to bring Dany back. Yeah.
Okay, he's dead. Either way.
I say dead.
Theon, I think he will die saving Yara.
Dead.
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 Sansa.
Lives.
I think, alive.
Yeah.
She'll make it.
I want her dead. I'm just going to say dead because I want her fucking redhead claw. Manipulating bitch. I'm sorry. I'm done now. Next.
Tormund Giantsbane. What about him?
That beautiful kiss by fire ginger is going to live forever and have huge babies with Brienne.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to die, but I don't want him to.
I think he lives only to show the wildlings in our part of the kingdom.
Huh.
I think he dies in Brienne's arms.
Yeah. No! They have babies. They have giant babies.
After, but he could get Brienne pregnant and die.
He dies in Brienne's arms with his head resting on her pregnant stomach.
Aww.
All right.
And they lived happily ever after. Damn. Well, not him. He died.
Go ahead, Kevin. The list is starting to get real interesting.
Oh, this is a big one, folks. Possibly some people could pass out after hearing this. Tyrion Lannister. What do we get?
Alive, sipping on gin and juice. I mean, Amp's Delight.
So that was alive. And from Rars, did you say alive as well?
Yeah, he'll make it.
Whoa.
I'll go with alive. I don't know where they're going to go story-wise. Yeah, I think alive.
He's going to be dead. He's going to die.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see that just because of the shock factor of it, because we don't expect it. That's like the last person we would expect to die. But it felt so intense last season when he was about to, like with the mountain and Cersei. Holy shit. Okay, but you know what? I'm going to say that David and Dany will leave him alive.
Ooh, I'm the outcast on that one. Okay, which is good. I want Tyrion to live. Next one, the Hound. What about the Hound?
Dies by fire. Using fire.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think he dies, but he's brought back by Beric.
I'm going to go with the Hound lives. I'm gonna go against the grain.
I do like the idea that the Hound would be brought back and the Lord of Light like officially owns him. He's like, oh, all God.
Right. Fucking fire freaks. Sam, I think he lives because he's the author of this story.
Yeah, Sam lives.
Bam.
Dead.
I'm fine with him telling a story as long as we see the end of the fucking story. But yeah, I'll say Sam lives.
Yeah, Sam lives. Yeah.
Nah,
Sam
lives.
Dead.
Sam's gonna live.
What? Kevin, you just want to be antagonistic.
No, I don't. Sam the Slayer will be slain.
Here we go.
He'll be slain. He could die in his own story. You never know.
Daenerys. Yes. So if Rhaerys went with the Hound coming back, I'll have to say the same thing for Daenerys, you know what? But the more I think about it, I think Rhaerys is going to beat me here. But still, I will stick to my shitty prediction, and I will say that Daenerys will die and will be brought back.
I'm going to be stubborn and stick to my prediction.
Yes.
I think Daenerys is going down. I think she's going to die.
Yeah, she's got to die if the Night King does symmetry.
Yeah, I think Dany lives.
No, I think she lives.
All right, well.
Well, this is pretty 50-50.
Yeah, I'm very surprised.
Arya.
Dead.
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 Lives.
Arya lives.
She goes off on her little adventures at the
end.
With
Gendry.
No, Gendry has to take over the Stormlands. Arya's going to just be an assassin and go on her way. She's going to realize she doesn't fit in with her family.
Gendry can get all the girls he likes.
Yeah.
All of them, just like his father.
All of them. Mm.
He's got to make the 8. It's really important.
Oh, he does. Oh, yeah.
Jaime Lannister.
Jaime has to die.
I hope he dies killing Cersei.
Yes.
Like they die together.
Yep. James. I agree.
That's so Romeo and Juliet.
They done said it too many times. Came into the world together, got to go out together.
They did.
Yeah, but it's not going to be Romeo and Juliet because Jaime's going to do it because. Yeah, it's not Romeo and Juliet.
I mean, no, he's not going to do it because he's distraught that Cersei died, I don't think, but. And then she wasn't actually dead. I don't think so. But I don't know. I don't want Jaime to die after. I want him to like kill Cersei and then go do more heroic stuff.
All right. Dolores Ed.
I agree. Jaime's going to die.
Dolores Ed.
Hey, wait. We didn't hear my answer, man.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Wait.
Oh. Teletubby, go ahead.
Oh. Okay.
That's 3. Okay. I hold the record, right? I don't think she's told anybody fuck you more times than she has me.
Yeah, I know. Fine. I also don't want him to die, but I think, yeah, I will have to agree.
Next, we have Dolores Ed.
Ed is dead.
That poor guy needs to live, though. I feel so bad for him.
I know. He's dead, though. The whole Night's Watch is going to be gone. There's no need for a Night's Watch after this.
He finally becomes Lord Commander, and then the wall goes down. Fuck.
He may just kill himself, actually.
I think he's gonna.
Ed rhymes with dead.
Ed rhymes with.
I'm gonna say he lives just because I'm sad. I think Euron is killed by Theon, and then Theon dies while doing it.
Dead.
So I think Euron will be dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's a definite dead.
I think we can all agree on the next one too. I think we all seriously, she's dead by the end of the. I mean, she has to, yeah.
She's not only going to die, she's going to die horribly.
She's going
to
be dead, but so man. Dead.
It's going to be a Joffrey-looking... Oh, it's going to be a Joffrey-looking scene, I guarantee.
She's so dead.
Oh, I hope so. I sincerely hope so, but man, there's theories out there where it's like, she's going to be the Night Queen and take over the mantle.
I want to murder people with this fucking Night King, Night Queen bullshit. Stop.
All right, next we have Jon Snow. Otherwise known, I'm sorry, as Aegon Targaryen.
Yeah, call him by his proper name.
His name is Jon. Fuck everyone else calling him Aegon.
How about we just compromise and call him Aegon?
Johnny.
Okay, Aegon.
Jon's got to live in torment. He's going to live.
Yeah, he's got
to live. Jaegon.
He's really good at brooding. He has to live.
Lives.
Yes, Jon Snow's going to die. Danny's going to live, and she's going to be pregnant.
I think he dies with her little incest baby.
Jon lives.
They're going to be incest twins. They're going to be incest twins. It's going to be a boy and girl twin, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to get married, and they're going to have even more inbred kids. It's going to be amazing.
Danny's going to
have a civil war. Going to have some bastards.
Yeah.
Do a rebellion. It's going to be awesome.
All right, next we have Brienne.
She's going to live, and she's going to have giant babies with Tormund.
She's going to die upholding her oath.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yes, I agree with Chris on that one. Did.
Okay, fine. You convinced me. She dies.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Val. That's like such a horrible thing.
The mountain.
The mountain.
Dies.
We have to kill him more than he's already killed.
He's killed by the hound. Yeah. He is, I guess, permanently dead.
Permanently.
Yeah. The hound.
We'll say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Dead.
Close those red eyes.
Dead by fire.
Purple eyes.
Qyburn.
That's an interesting
one. I think he's killed. Ugh. And I think he is killed by the little birds.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I still think Varys has control over them.
I want them to
are
so bad.
Yeah. And so Varys kind of tells his little birds, you know, go in and stay. And we have like what happened to Kevin in the books.
Right.
It happens to Qyburn. I think that'd be
I would
awesome.
Say that, or possibly him, you know, getting a boner over a white and the white kills him or something like that. Whatever. Trying to do some weird shit.
Yeah. I don't know about the little birds. I feel like they're not going to go that way, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe a building just collapses on top of him.
So the next on the list is the spider, Varys.
I think he lives.
He dies. It's already been predicted. He's down.
Yeah, but she didn't say when. He could die of an old age. But for the
yeah,
sake of the show,
I mean, she's like, you're going to die on this continent just like me. And it's like, I don't understand why that's scary.
I know.
He lives there.
She didn't say tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I changed my mind.
But just for the sake of that, I got to say he's going to die, I guess.
Dead.
Yes.
God damn it, guys.
Have your own opinion, Val. Don't let us influence
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stand firm.
I don't like having my own opinion. Okay, listen. I am.
This is so sad.
You are setting feminism back.
Okay, no, you know what? I will stick to living. He lives. Yeah.
Interesting.
You're going to lose that one.
Shut up, Tartan.
Did we do Melisandre?
Oh, dead.
Yeah, I think she'll actually help in this war and die with some big, you know, cool, fiery magic thing.
Yes!
Yeah, I think so, too.
I agree. Dead.
Dead.
The grayest of worms. How about him?
Dead.
Dead. Mm. He has to die.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah. Dead. It's like a horror film. He finally had sex, so he's a prime candidate to die now.
Exactly.
And Missandei.
Yeah, if he gets thrown in, Missandei.
Missandei lives, and she is heartbroken that Grey Worm dies, and she's never the same.
I agree.
Yep.
Dead.
What? Kevin.
She has no purpose. She's going to die. The only thing she could do is teach everyone all the languages of the world once everyone's wiped out.
Exactly.
That's it.
Or she could take care of Danny's baby.
She's going to be the Rosetta Stone of the new Westeros.
Or she could get with Davos.
What?
Right? Oh my god. Right? No, she's actually the Night King, Val.
Davos is married.
Yeah. Happily
yeah, why
married.
Was
he loves his wife.
He wasn't flirty, he was just being nice.
Davos is a rad dad, that's why. He doesn't play by your rules.
Flirty, that was just small talk.
Speaking of which, what about Davos?
Dead.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's going to die.
I think I'll give him a chance here. I think he'll make it home to his wife eventually.
Oh.
Yeah, I think
something
he
like
lives.
Shit,
oh, that'd be nice.
Like Sam. Hmm.
Yeah, Davos lives. I'm going to say he lives.
He's not going to be able to smuggle his way out of this one, folks. I waited for you all to finish so I could jump that in there real quick.
So dramatic. All right, Tycho.
I think he lives. The banker never dies.
Yeah, he's going to live.
They will have its due. He's going to die, though.
No, Dario cuts his throat. He's dead.
Dead.
What?
I'm kidding about the Dario part, though, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. Probably live. I don't know.
Gendry?
He lives and rules the Stormlands.
I will go with that for now.
Gendry will live.
Yeah.
Although I think the system changes. He's got a god.
Gendry lives.
He's going to die the deadest of dead
he
ever.
He has an important part in nowhere to come.
Next, Edmure Tully. Apparently he's already dead.
He appears just to be killed within like the first 30 seconds he appears in season 8.
I agree.
You're going to pull a recon, you think?
No lines.
What? Yeah, exactly. You just see him.
Yeah, I think he probably filmed his death scene in season 7 that we never saw.
His only lines in season 8 are going to be, ugh! That's going to be it.
he trips and hits his head on a rock, and that's just how he goes out.
Oh, poor guy.
Edmure Tully sleeps through the whole long the war.
That's it.
It's like, oh, wait, what? Sorry. I have a really late workout.
And finally, Jorah.
Lives.
So dead.
And he watches Dany get it on with Jon and weeps.
He dies.
He's a goner.
He's definitely a goner.
Yeah, he's
gonna live.
He's like 102 anyway. So.
The old bear. That's GR. Never mind. Whoops. We didn't even say Yara, but
I think Yara makes it.
Yara. Yeah, she makes it.
Yeah, Theon saves her.
I like the idea of Yara making it. I'm not confident in that one, but I like the idea of it.
Oh, I got a final one. How about the two dragons?
Ooh, oh, good job.
Yeah.
One for sure.
I want them to live.
I think one for sure.
I want them to live.
Dead. Both of them.
I'll just be safe here and say one and one. I know that's a shitty answer, but.
I think they both live.
Boo.
I don't know. I could see them both dying, and then we see a clutch of eggs somewhere at the end of this thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm banking on. I'm banking on the egg thing where they just.
And then John hatches them this time.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
The little baby.
Get to or their kid. Their kid will. Their kid will do
the
it.
The inbred baby's going to play with them.
So that was a pretty good lightning round. I mean, because there's a lot of characters, really, we have no idea if they're going to live or not by the end of next season, because I expect it to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, thinking about characters who are already dead, I think myself, like many of you, probably worried that we're going to see some characters who are already dead are going to come back as whites. So that's even probably in a whole other conversation. Like, I'm terrified a Hodor white comes back.
Oh, no, I want that so bad. Oh,
come on. Come on.
I want to see Bran cry. I want to see Bran cry.
Rarest. Come on, melt your icy
heart. He deserves it. No, he deserves it. I want to see Summer come back, too, as a little white direwolf.
Could he still warg into a white Hodor, I wonder?
I would love for him to try and for Hodor to, like, the voice of the Night King go through him and be like, nah, not this time, bitch, and, like, pushes him out of Hodor.
That'd be cool. I would like that much better.
Sorry.
Speaking of Star Wars... Huge news, man. Episode 9 got a new director, and he's a familiar face, which is J.J. Abrams. Oh,
God.
Lens flares! I miss them so much.
Lens flares
wait.
And Return of the Jedi copy.
Yo, I don't care, man. Force Awakens was awesome.
Excuse me, Chris. were there any Ewoks in The Force Awakens? I think not.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, fuck, that was the last one.
No, they went in Episode 4, A New Hope.
Shit!
Were there any Jawas? Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, 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 there we go. Yeah,
shut your face.
Shut your fucking whore mouth.
Was there a Kenobi in there? Oh, wait, yes, there was. Oh, Ray was in there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ wasn't in there. Gosh.
How do you know?
That's what they tell me on Reddit.
Oh.
Hey, so if JJ's doing it, are we going to have, like, a fleet of Death Stars, or... Like,
we've made 10. We now have 10, and they're all orbiting
the Death Star universe next. That's what it is. It's a whole solar system. They all work together.
Oh, yeah,
has their own gravitational
pull. JJ, I'm so excited.
Like a ridiculously awesome super beam. They all meet in the middle. They cross streams, which is foolish, but it works for them for some reason because this is JJ Abrams. And then they have to take them down. Admiral Akbar will still be there. Take him down, no problem.
You got it. You're right, though. That's it. It's a solar system that works together to create, like, the Death Star, and it takes out entire galaxies. Then now, I mean, it makes sense. It's the biggest fucking lens flare you'll ever see, right? Exactly.
Then Thanos pops up with the Infinity Gauntlet. He has the Soul Gem, which is, of course, super important. Then Rey has to battle him for that because she's... I'm just going to stop.
You know, I'm sitting here trying to think of, like, refuting Chris's thing about going, aha, was this in The Force Awakens from The New Hope? And I went, was a seedy cantina in it? And I was like, fuck, there was. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, did the mentor character die? Yeah, fuck, he did. Like, I'm just, like, sitting here. As I'm going through it in my head, I'm like, god damn it.
See, that's the way I was when I walked out of the theater. I was stoked. And then after it hit me about an hour later, like, wait a minute. Yeah. What did I just watch? It was A New Hope.
Starkiller Base was destroyed.
Where was... was there the Force-sensitive orphan on a desert planet?
Is there some type of land speeder? Yeah. Anything? Yeah. No matter what you think of her, it was in there.
Was there a resistance/rebel rebel force running away with secret plans to an ultimate weapon? Or to someone important? Yeah.
That's what I mean. It was Corbin. He played it too safe. I think he's fine, but he played it too safe.
Was there a villainous man in black searching for those plans at any cost?
Jesus.
I'm telling you.
It is. It's really pretty bad. Was there a droid carrying the plans running away?
Exactly. Thank you for proving my points, people.
I was just, the entire time you're talking, Kevin, I'm thinking in my head, okay, I can find something. I'm going to fucking refute Chris, and I'm like, god damn it.
The only thing
I'll go back to, I think the only what Kevin thing said, the really, Jawas.
You can argue it. Yeah, Jawas, there's one. Yeah, I think the only thing I can really pull Checkmate, out to Chris. Argue too much is Finn. Like, there's no traitor person.
Well.
But that's it. That's all I got.
Kinda. Kinda.
Can anyone think of, like, that's all I got, because there was no random traitor helping them out or anything. I mean, can anyone think of anything else? Otherwise, I think it's, I know it's pretty spot on, but I'm okay with that, though, at the same time. I don't care that it was basically a carbon copy.
It's because history repeats itself.
Well, I mean, the traitor was in it, Han Solo.
Well, he wasn't a traitor.
Oh, are you saying a traitor or a traitor?
Traitor, T-R-A-I-T-O-R.
I mean, you had one in Empire, a traitor. Which technically you call Lando. But that's Empire. So
I did, actually, Chris, it's funny that we're having this conversation. I was reading an article. Actually, the article I was reading today was about, you know, bringing JJ back. And they said, well, okay, well, the next, you know, episode 9 needs to be different. Like, I mean different as in there needs to be a whole new abundance of characters and not just changing the name of the overlord of the planet as Rawa the Rut and just pretending that it's a new character. I was like, okay, fair point. I'm excited about it, though, because I like you said, I think he's the safe pick, and I'm happy he's the safe pick and that they went with that, because I'm fearful someone's going to go too out there and my movie's going to be ruined. And I think the first movie was pretty good, even though it was a copy.
I'm just worried because Disney seems to be getting rid of a lot of their directors lately, because we got rid of Rogue One guy.
Yeah.
Or not Rogue One guy, sorry, the Han Solo one.
Everyone's favorite new movie.
Yeah. And now they did it with this one. It's kind of like, I don't know, it makes me a little uncomfortable, but I guess this is a little different because Han Solo had already been filming when they replaced the director, where they aren't filming this one yet.
Yeah, and it wasn't the reasoning that there was they had a difference in vision?
Yeah.
Which is pretty scary, because wouldn't you think that's like interview question numero uno?
Well, it's bothered me too, because that's the same thing like with Mark Hamill. He didn't like some of the direction. You know what I mean? So I don't know what Disney's doing, but it's Disney. We got to remember that. They're doing some things good. But...
Yeah, and then afterwards, though, he said that he was wrong, and now that it's filmed, he sees how it all came together. I don't know if it was because he was told, hey, don't talk shit about the film because people got up in arms about what he said, or if he genuinely then saw the final cut and was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is good.
That makes sense. I mean, the good thing for him is, though, if he wants to mouth off, he's Luke Skywalker no matter what. I don't think anyone will accept another one. So maybe he can get away with a little bit, but I hope it's genuine what he said. I really do.
I don't know, because he also said at this year it was when someone asked the question and he said, well, you have to realize that my story is over. It's already been told, so I'm passing the torch on to someone else. And Kathleen Kennedy, who was sitting there, like, had this, oh, fuck, look on her face. And after that, she said it repeatedly in that thing, like, no, Luke Skywalker is still a huge part of it, and we're going to focus a lot on him. And then she did interviews afterwards talking about how big of a part Luke is and blah, blah, blah. And it seemed like she was really doing some damage control.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can believe that.
I really do think that Mark Hamill was telling the truth, that this isn't his story anymore. It's being passed on to a new generation, but she didn't want that being known.
Because do we think that he's going to be dead in the next film?
I don't think in the one this December. I could see him dying in the final film of the trilogy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what other people think.
He's either dead at the end of this one or at the beginning of the next one.
I have to admit, I'm partial to thinking that he's going to be gone.
Don't know.
Yeah, I think it could go either way, don't get me wrong. But I think that he was pretty much 100% right when he said it's about, you know, passing off to another character, to, you know, to another group of characters. I think it only makes, you know, sense. Luke, it seems like his whole purpose is going to talk about what we presume is this whole gray Jedi business to Rey. And I'm excited for that. But I really want Luke to stick around because he's arguably the most powerful, you know, most powerful warrior in the universe. Maybe even
still. Yeah, we're going to have to hold off on that one. I mean, we should get one more trailer, though, right? We should have one more trailer still coming, no?
Wasn't it in October last time? I thought it was in October last time.
It's something like that. I was reading an article the other day saying, yeah, it comes roughly like a month and a half before.
Yeah, but it's crazy because, I mean, like this year they made us wait like hell for the first trailer. And last time, remember, it was right around, actually, was it just a couple days before Thanksgiving they released it? Or on Thanksgiving Day? So it was a year and a month when we got the first one. Oh, I do. Yes, it was like a year and a month when we got the very first trailer for the first movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, I think I was out, and yeah, I was actually smoking a cigarette, sitting in the driveway at this Thanksgiving dinner thing. I was watching the fucking trailer out in the driveway. I remember that. I was like, I left early because I wanted to go home and watch it.
I remember crying like a little bitch on the final trailer.
Oh, I can't awful. Wait. I need to see Luke wielding a lightsaber again. I need that to happen.
That's going to happen.
Like, don't you think there's going to be a point where, like, Kylo is going to try to face off against him on screen?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it is going to go bad for him.
For who, Kylo?
I mean, if a fucking little girl that just learned how to use the Force can... I mean, I know he was wounded, but... I think Luke is just going to wipe the floor with him.
Absolutely.
I don't think those two will fight, though. I don't know. We'll see. That's a good... I don't know.
Don't you think that Kylo at least will try to? I mean, the whole first movie is the chase of him trying to get to Luke. And they did make a big deal... Well, not a big deal, but they made a big deal about... Or made a little bit of a deal with Snoke talking to Kylo about continuing his training and stuff, you know, after he gets off Starkiller. So I think they're trying to show that he's going to progress... even more than he was, which, again, like Rarsh just said, it doesn't seem very impressive considering he lost to an untrained, you know, Rey. But I'm assuming he's going to give it a shot, and Luke's going to probably embarrass him or toy with him. And not, like, in a menacing toy with him, but, like, try to talk sense into him while he's defending everything.
Yeah. I could also see Luke making him feel like he's on equal footing with him while trying to talk with them, and then once he realizes it's pointless, then he shows him his real power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much better he is than Kylo, which would be awesome.
I would love that. I need to see him wield the green lightsaber again. Luke's lightsaber is actually one of my favorites.
I don't know if I agree, man. I think there's going to be some other big bad for Luke. Or if two.
You want to know what I really hope we don't see? We don't see some Yoda-level backflip shit from Luke. I do not want to see him doing acrobats and no, just no.
I don't either.
Luke Skywalker.
I would like to see more movement from him, but I don't want to see tons of acrobatics because really Yoda's he's not the only one, but in all of the movies, he's really the only one we've seen doing like flips all over the place. I mean, you know,
he was the craziest. The other Jedis, they did do it, but they weren't as fucking insane as the Yoda one was. That they took that way too fucking
Yoda
far.
Yoda was methed out. There's no doubt about that.
I'm just trying to.
Like, yeah, it was
the
just
the only other person.
He did a straight shot of adrenaline to his heart, and then just went balls to the
but
walls.
You got Darth Maul. I'm thinking of some people. I'm like, oh wait a minute, but that's all animated shit. So my bad. But yeah, Darth Maul.
Are you talking about Clone Wars?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What about, well, the only other person I can think of is actually probably, I thought it was maybe Sidious, but I don't even know, I don't know if he did.
Well, Flips? Actually,
yeah, I don't remember if Sidious did.
No, Darth Maul. Darth Maul was all over the fucking place. That was, what's his name?
I don't think Maul even did.
Well, not like a full flip, but I mean, he was doing like, what do you call those, like aerial type flips? He's, that's Ray Park.
That's
Ray Park.
No, I know. I met Ray Park. He's a really nice fellow.
That's what I'm saying. I'm... okay.
Just throwing it out there. He was also the Toad in the X-Men movie, and I was like, oh, Ray Park, you're a cool guy.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he's a known martial artist.
He was who in the X-Men movie?
Yeah, he's Toad in the first X-Men.
I didn't know that.
Too. Yeah, he's a distinguished martial artist, so yeah, he can move.
I follow him on Twitter. He's so nice. Anyway, sorry. He gave me a free autograph when I was at Wizard World Philadelphia as a younger fellow, and I was like, I don't have like $30 to drop on all these different autographs, and he was like, yeah man, no problem, I'll sign your card. And I was like, oh man, Ray Park, you're the man. If for some miracle you ever listen to this podcast, Ray Park, you the man.
Well, here's the deal though, he's not writing it by himself, isn't what's his face, shit, what the hell's his name, the guy from doing this one here,
it's the guy who helped write the Dark? No. He helped write Batman versus Superman.
Okay. Oh, and he's doing Justice League,
too. I think The Dark Knight, too. And Justice League,
Argo.
Yeah, so, I mean, he has some good films under his belt.
Well, he's got Argo.
Yeah. What we're looking for is storyline. That's just it. We need a good storyline writer. No more lens flare shit. That's enough.
The good thing is, he didn't
use that many, though.
No, that's why I feel, you know, pretty okay with him. I feel safe at home. Like a warm blanket has been wrapped around me.
I mean, he'll do a decent job. I don't think Disney's going to let him do a shit job either. I mean, as much as people bitch about Disney taking over Star Wars, and I totally get it, the expanded universe being gone, I think Disney has done a good job so far. I've been happy with most of their comics. I've been happy with most of their books. There were some weak ones here or there. And I think they've done a decent job with their movies. So I have faith in Disney to not fuck this up.
Yeah, I do too. But you know what? Here, let's be realistic here. All these crazy theories everybody has, you got to remember it's a Disney property. So my thing is this, is that I love some of the stories I've heard, but it's not going to happen because it's a Disney movie. And both parks are building Disney parks. So that's kind of what I'm trying to keep in mind. It's going to be something, you know, I mean, it ain't going to be too dark and way out there, I don't think. I really don't. So it could be as dark as Empire, but, you know, it ain't going to be dark as, you know, some modern movies. There's no way, because it's a Disney property. I would like it to be darker, but it's not going to be.
I mean, Rogue One was pretty dark.
Yeah, but the same thing. You know, everything's pretty much off screen, all your major characters. You know, nothing. It's not going to be, I don't know. I want a dark storyline, but it's not going to be creepy. You know what I mean? It's not going to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be family orientated. It's got to be good, but not enough to scare the shit out of your kid, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to appeal to all audiences. So,
and make sure you don't have anyone in a Slave Leia bikini, because we don't want to send that message to little girls.
That's a tough fucking thing. I mean, you hit it on the head earlier. I mean, the idea that that they're not going to use that. It's like, well, they could, you know, be like demeaning to women. It's like, well, yeah, that was the point. That's why she was put in the outfit. She was a slave.
Yeah, exactly. That was the point.
She has to dress for the job she has.
I honest to God, I hate our outrage, offended culture we have nowadays. It's just, the internet gives, everyone should have a voice. But sometimes the people that are really just stupid have too loud of a voice. And unfortunately, everyone can hear them.
All I know is we're getting stronger female characters. That's what Kathleen Kennedy said. Did I say her name wrong again? Miss Kennedy. That's what she said. Remember that?
Sounds right to me.
What was it? Was it D23, maybe? It was one of the big things before.
Yeah, it's... Oh, my God. Because we've never had strong female characters in Star Wars before Disney took over, right?
She said all we had was just, she wanted to have more role models, or, you know, more female strong female characters in this new series. That's what she came out of her mouth. So that's what I'm going
to
expect.
To be fair, in the films, there really aren't very many.
There's not.
What was the joke? Leia sees Mon Mothma, the only other female in the Star Wars universe. You know, because you don't really see a lot of other females. Well, I know they also made a thing. They wanted to make sure they showed females flying also. Like, that, you know, they were in charge of being in the X-Wings too. And so they wanted to show equal. I think that's why they had Phasma also be the leader of, oh, see, look, a woman can also be leading the stormtroopers and, you know, can man a TIE fighter too. And I don't know.
Yeah, it all changed.
I don't know.
Realistically, whenever we saw like a woman in the old, you know, the old trilogy, it was they were usually like Jabba slaves or dancers or something outside of Leia and Mon Mothma or Mothma. I can't say her
well,
name.
Well, wasn't it? I can't remember exactly what the reasonings behind it, but the reason why they didn't have any women in the TIE fighters or the X-Wings is because they thought the general, they were going to, George was going to, but he thought the general public would be outraged to see a woman die in, like, a space battle. So, but I can't, there was a specific reason for it, why they would be outraged, because something was going on at the time, but I can't.
Yeah, that's odd.
I'll have to pick up that book by George again.
I mean, just that commentary alone tells you what society was or is like. I mean, the perception there.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah. I would love to see women being killed in ships. Come on.
God, I live for
Equal
it.
Equal opportunity. Yeah. Slaughter more women in Star Wars.
I wish that's how I started my
Those
day.
Bitches have it too easy.
Equality. Yeah.
Equality. Equality means we die just as much. Fuck us up. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I have to admit, I'm pretty excited for the director change. I didn't care. Either way, I think Disney's going to do well. I have a lot of faith in Disney, actually, except for the Pirates of the Caribbean films. They need to just stop.
Are they still going?
Oh, I hope not. The fifth one was hot garbage.
Chris, you didn't tell us how you felt about J.J.
I thought I summed that up earlier. I like J.J. Abrams. I have no problems with him. I was just saying that the whole thing with episode 7 was too safe, and it was essentially a reboot with new characters of A New Hope.
And I personally feel like the Star Trek movie he did was basically a Star Wars movie.
You see, so. I didn't do the Star Trek movies. I wouldn't do it because they fucked the whole universe up by destroying Vulcan.
But it's an alternate
timeline. See, I can't do alternate bullshit. I hate it. I can't stand alternate universes. No. You just fucked up every single Star Trek show that it ever existed because you destroyed Vulcan, period. So it all never happened.
So for the news, everyone out there, Walking Dead news, the showrunner Scott Gimple has told everyone that he's not going to be doing the miserable bottle episodes that happened last season quite a bit, and even before, like with Morgan and Dwight and even Tara, which is the worst episode maybe ever, where it focuses mainly on one character and their whole story. And instead, all these episodes, since it's going to be during the all-out war storyline, it looks like we're going to have multiple characters in there when there normally wouldn't have been. So I think that's great. It's an improvement.
No, I'm just saying the only one I think I'd be maybe one good episode of, you know, mostly Negan. That would be the only thing. I do want to see more of his backstory, but other than that, I don't need a whole episode, though, really. I mean, they can kind of go back and forth. I don't know. That would be the only one I would be okay with. Everybody else, that's enough of that shit. Let's get ready for whatever they're going to do with this whole war thing. And
that's perfect, because they also confirmed that you're going to see Negan's backstory this upcoming season, too. And we saw a little bit of in the preview of him as a coach at a school, but hopefully they dive a little bit more. Some of this has already been in the comics. I think it was in a different thing. It was like Skybound or something was the comic.
Yeah, I don't want to be spoilers because I do know some of the comic stuff. Like, you know, how the bat got its name and all that. We won't say anything, and just in case, because that would be a big spoiler, I think, for the show.
I'm very excited about it, personally. I just, my God, that episode where Tara, it was just on her at Oceanside. I wanted to kill myself repeatedly. It was just so bad. She's such a not interesting character to begin with, and then I got to watch a whole episode about this, about a community that, honestly, we don't need. So it was very, very boring to have that happen. And I'm thrilled that
The Mullet Man one was bored, too, though. I'm sorry, go ahead, dude.
No, that's okay. I'm just thrilled that it's not going down.
Yeah, Mullet Man 2, that was boring as fuck. I mean, there were some cool little parts there. It was unnecessary if you think about it. It was very unnecessary.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a much more, a pretty happy change, I think, for Walking Dead fans, especially when this season's going to be it should just be fighting all season.
Yeah, let's get back to the roots. It's a damn zombie show. Let's add storyline while you kill shit.
So luckily we have a little bit till that show starts up, but that is a decent little drop of news that I thought we'd share for the community out there. But it looks like we're going to move on from that. We're going to talk about another horror-related thing, is actually the film It. It breaking box office records right now, but it also a pretty decent flick. And I know I was actually kind of ramped up by it, but kind of curious for other people who had checked it out. What'd you think of the film?
I thought it was hilarious. That was like a gold mine of... I was laughing throughout the entire film. It was magnificent.
It was all about the jump scares with this film. I mean, that's really kind of what it came down to, I think. As far as like...
There were no... really?
Of course
I didn't,
there were.
There wasn't a single jump scare for me.
Rise, you cannot say there were no jump scares in this fucking movie,
there
all right?
There weren't. I didn't jump a single time. There wasn't a single... And I
it's okay, the fact that you didn't jump doesn't...
Well, it does! Because every scary movie, I always get hit by jump scares. And this one, I didn't. It was just... It was fucking hilarious. The entire film.
The only problem with this movie is that the jump scares were, like, super obvious when they were coming. It was so obvious, I knew exactly when to cover my eyes.
They were so obvious, they didn't happen.
Oh, that's a lie. There was one that actually caught me off guard. But, funny enough, I was so distraught by what happened before that I didn't have time to process the jump scare, which was when... I think her name's Beth, the character, the female character, was like in the bathroom after sort of stuff with her father, and I was so like disheartened by that whole deal. I wasn't even prepared to process the fact that he was about to like just grab her by the throat.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally saw that coming.
I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel so sick right now. Then, oh, my God, he grabbed her by the throat.
I kept expecting that to happen because of the camera angles that they were using. It was just, it felt like they were going to just turn the camera around and show you something. Like, I just kept feeling like that the entire time. So, yeah, I was ready for that one. But I totally get it. I think, okay, but going back to, like, an actual review of this, like, I thought it was good. I liked the foreshadowing in it a lot because the foreshadowing was very clever. And I don't know if that came from Stephen King himself in the books. Like, that would make sense because, I mean, I don't know. I thought the setup was really good, especially for, like, the kids' fears. And then the weapon that was going to be used later and all this stuff. Did you guys realize that each kid had, like, more than one fear? Like, it wasn't just one fear for everyone. It was just... And for people who don't know what it is about, this clown makes kids see... Or uses the kids' biggest fear against them to get them...
scared because they taste better when they're afraid when he eats them. Like, it tastes better. And the reason why he goes after kids is because they have... easier, more concrete fears. Like, a kid is afraid of the monster in the closet, or he's afraid of us. Where adults, you know, our fear is, oh shit, am I going to be fired from my job and then I won't be able to pay my bills? You know, our fears as adults are a little less concrete and harder to form into. And it was in the books, I don't know if, or yeah, in the books, because there was two, if I remember correctly. He was an alien that came to Earth.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And lived there. And that's why he could basically change into anything. So I don't know if they're going to go that route. Because there was also, like, a turtle that was, like, in control of the universe or created the universe or something. I read this book way too long ago. So, and they didn't have the turtle. So I'm guessing they're going to kind of back away from that.
Yeah, it was a bit weird already. I didn't expect... What? Yes, what?
Oh, no, I was going to say, did anyone laugh hysterically at the end when Beverly is in the sewer and the clown, it appears as the dancing clown and he's doing his dance with the flames behind him?
Yeah, that was fun.
That was hilarious how intently he's, like, dancing and,
I didn't laugh, but I liked it.
Yeah, I don't know if they meant it to be scary or humorous, but I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, I thought it was, it's just the intensity of it, like you said, it was hilarious.
Yeah. It's just like he was so, like, into it that it just became funny.
Tearing it up.
I guess this is
He is just really into his job, like, dial it back a little bit, dude.
Didn't even ask him to do that, he just did it.
Yeah, it's like, it's hard, because, like, anytime he was being scary, it just felt like he was trying too hard, and so it just made it funny to me, I don't know. Now, in real life, if I were to see a clown with pointed teeth like that, it would probably scare me, but...
Maybe,
you know.
I like that it's even a question.
I mean, I don't know, I've seen some really weird shit.
No,
Have you ever been to Mexico?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've been there.
That place is fucking scary. It
doesn't scare me anymore.
Oh, shit, Kevin.
Okay, so I'm guessing we're going to see this in our comment section because people have been talking nonstop about it. I guess people are really riled up about the teen, well, they're preteens, how they all have, like, basically sex in the book and they didn't include that.
What?
In the movie.
What?
Yes. So, okay, yeah. So when they're in the sewers, basically they run a train on Beverly to help
them. Yeah, she has sex with them all.
Yeah, to help them bond. And it's weird because Stephen King even goes in and describes, like, in a way, whether their balls have dropped or not, like, they're producing sperm because some of them orgasm, but nothing comes out, and then other ones orgasm and their sperm, and it's like... I get the realism, Stephen King, but I really didn't want to read about preteens.
Well, the theme was there, though. It was implied. It didn't actually happen, but everyone did think that Beverly was sleeping around with everyone. So...
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like everyone keeps bringing up that. It was a really small part of the book. It really wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah, it's kind of weird for preteens to be having sex, and I am really thankful they didn't show that on screen, because
I agree
that would have just ruined the whole tone of the film for me. Just,
it would have derailed the whole movie.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good idea, but it's not as bad as people are making it sound in the books. Is it disgusting? Yes. Was it, did it destroy a good book? No. So before people go on the comic, go, what about that train scene? It's great that they did not put that in the movie. I did not need to see that.
I agree. That's all anyone would have talked about if that had happened. Like, that's all anyone would have cared about.
Oh, yeah. They would have just... They couldn't have gotten away with that either. I can't imagine that, keeping it at an R rating. Preteens having sex?
Oh,
just,
yeah. No.
Yeah, that's just... No. That would not fly.
Actually, before I forget this, I read a brilliant article that kind of interpreted the whole movie, kind of like Raris, how you were saying it wasn't scary. And I agree. I don't think it was overly scary by any means. The article basically broke it down, and I think it was Screen Rant. I love ScreenRant.com, so I think it was on there. But it was like, it ended in a way that wasn't really very scary. Kind of like you talked about the dancing clown thing. Is like, it made sense that it would end to a point where it's not really scary, because the characters themselves weren't scared of it anymore. So in a way, it kind of does make a ton of sense, I think, that the tone kind of by the end was like, oh, this is not a super horrifying clown, and kind of went out like a punk, because the characters themselves had kind of gotten to a point where they, you know, they didn't think that he was either. So in a way, that's actually kind of brilliant.
Yeah, and think about what they dealt with on a daily basis. Like, each of the kids dealt with a lot of shit. I mean, you have Beverly dealing with a father who is sexually assaulting her. You have Bill... that is dealing with the death of his little brother and the guilt from that. So he lives in hell every day. So, and then the kid has the controlling, Eddie has the controlling mom, and he's a hypochondriac. So like, all the kids like suffered from something. So I feel like them overcoming their fears. I think there were some complaints like, oh, they overcame their fears too fast. But it was like, I don't really think so. Those kids in their own way were all in their own special hell in the first place.
Yeah, for sure.
So what was your guys' least favorite part of the movie?
Oh, I would say not the end because of how it ended, but the end because of how it didn't explain things properly. How was this Beverly brought back from these, like, hypnosis, and then the other kid, what happened to the other kids? Like, did they start coming down from the floating, and then where did they go? Did they come back? Did they not come back? Because they were dead for like ages, right? And like, and he hadn't eaten them, the clown hadn't eaten them, so what were they doing still floating there? Did his little brother not come back? Like, what?
Parts of him. Yeah, no, I think Georgie's dead for sure. I think maybe he ate just part of certain of the kids, maybe. It's his refrigerator. He's storing them for later. I don't know.
Right, but he was.
I think they're all just dead. But they did. I don't know. They definitely didn't answer that fully. But it, since Georgie didn't pop up again after it, I'm assuming they're all just dead.
Yeah. No, that's.
I
what
wish
I
they would have explained more about it. Like, you're saying they didn't explain. I wish they would have explained more about that and gotten into detail of, because that was the more interesting part for me. Like, the times he came back and the patterns and why he did it. Like, I would have loved
like
if they went
27 years or something.
Yeah.
What a weird number.
I know. I kind of wish they would have picked the date so that in 27 years, when they do the sequel, I think in 2019, it would have matched up the numbers.
Oh,
yeah. Geez. That would have been
like,
cool.
I know. I was like, come on, guys. It would have been so easy.
Get your Google calendar out.
Yeah. Fucking plan this shit.
Did anyone think that Pennywise was cute at the beginning?
Oh, his eyes were adorable. His eyes were adorable. I know. He was like a little puppy dog.
I know.
Yeah. Hard no from that.
I mean, I was actually surprised that he bit off Georgie's arm, like that they showed that. I didn't think they were going to, and when they did, and they had this little kid with like his arm off, I was like, holy shit. Because I know in the books, like, he's left to bleed to death in the gutter or something before it takes him. So, I mean, that's pretty graphic, but I didn't think they were going to, like, show him.
That was intense. And, like, that was, like, right at the beginning of the movie, and it cut me off guard, too. But, yeah.
And that kid was adorable. Oh, my God, was that kid adorable.
He was.
Like, I felt so bad for him. But, you know,
he really was.
He didn't listen to the stranger danger. He kept talking to a stranger.
Where Pennywise bit his arm, And then where it appeared that he had lost it, it was just way too high up, man. He should have had more arm left.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm just nitpicking.
Vale was scrutinizing the child butchery.
The child butchery.
You didn't do it right.
I'll say this, just to go back to your question about what was my least favorite part of the film. My answer is, my least favorite part was when I found out that Beverly was being molested. It just put a downer on the film for me. But I guess it's good that I felt that way, because you're supposed to, you know, that's a reason to really invest in her character and understand, you know, kind of why she's like looking for her spot and why she's kind of an outcast like everyone else. But man, did that put a damper on it for me.
I mean, it explained a lot of her behavior too, so.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of my least favorite part. I really just liked the entire film.
Well, yeah, and your favorite scene? How about your favorite scene?
Oh my god, it has to be the dancing part at the end. I just love that. The music and the fire and just his intensity. That was the best scene ever. I'd also have to say Georgie being killed, just because this adorable kid just getting butchered. I'd say any scene where children were harmed.
Right.
Just gonna throw out a blanket statement anytime those little bastards got hurt.
Yeah. The time they got killed, that was delightful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think those were my favorite moments.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was just the kids acting, and whenever they were funny, holy crap, I loved every scene where they made.
Yeah, I have a specific joke that I can't get out of my head that I think is so funny.
Oh, what one?
It was by Mikey again from Stranger Things. It was when they're in, what's his name? Ben? Was that the name of the guy who had a crush on Beverly?
Yeah.
The new kid. Anyway.
Yeah, the fat kid, Ben. Yeah.
When you're showing the map to everybody, and he goes, okay, so the town of Derry first was founded as a beaver mining community. He goes, it still is. Am I right, boys?
I loved him. The entire movie, his lines were just hilarious. Yeah.
They were dead on. They were like, do we do short straw or long straw? He goes, good thing we're not measuring wangs. I was dying.
It really sounds like the preteen teen boys, just how they fucking talk and just, ugh.
Pretty much.
I loved Eddie too, though. He was so adorable.
It's gray water.
Don't you fucking touch me. Oh my god. Anyways.
Just in general, man, those kids were like, that's why when people are like, am I gonna freak out when I go to see the movie? I was like, honestly, probably not. But like, for the majority of the movie, you're gonna be laughing.
Yeah. But if you're a pussy like me, you're gonna be covering your eyes because there's a lot of fucking jump scares.
There are not a lot of jump scares.
Yes, there are. Okay, don't listen to me.
No,
there's at least five. There's at least five.
No, there's a lot more than that.
You're both at pussies. At least five. Pussies.
See, what's funny for me is I'm not a fan of horror. I actually had to go because a student that of the place I work at, they won a prize basically where they could take a staff member to go to the movies with them and a friend, and they chose a horror film, It, and I didn't like it. But what made me deal with the horror flick so much easier was the fact that I had a bunch of like senior high school bros sitting next to me, and they were covering their face with their hand, and I was like, come on dude, you're like, even if you're just 17, come on man. You're here voluntarily, I'm sure. You need to get over it. So it gave me strength to see, because I was just confounded. I'm like, really? You're doing that right now, huh? In front of other people.
Yeah, so this is why I like being a girl sometimes. It's okay for me to cover my eyes.
I guess I'm being really judgmental, but I was like, I can't believe it right now. Mm. This is fake.
Mm-hmm. That's why haunted houses don't scare me, because I know it's fake. Like, they're not gonna harm me. They can't touch me. So it kind of ruins it. Vale, how do you feel going through haunted houses?
Fuck that. Okay, you know what?
There might be a zombie in one.
Oh, yeah. No, there's totally be a zombie in there. But I mean, like, even if there's nothing there, my mind is gonna play tricks on me, and I'm gonna get freaked out either way. So, yeah.
What if we get you really high and then take you to a haunted house?
Yeah, that'd be worse. Please don't.
All right, so we know what we're doing next month, right? We need to pick somewhere. We'll meet up. We'll get her high and then put her in a maze full of zombies. Suck.
I will never talk to you again.
I would give it 9 out of 10 T-Rexes. Go see this movie.
I know, I'd say go see it just because it's a classic.
Go see it just because the kids, my God, they're so funny.
They get maimed. And if you hate children as much as me, you're going to love this movie. It's all about killing children. Fantastic.
Get to live out a fantasy of hurting small children.
Yes, yeah, a fantasy.
Jeez, man.
It's like you are Peter Skarsgård. As
okay, how many Battermen do you give it, Kevin?
Battermen. Oh, my gosh. Man, okay, so if I'm gonna use a 5-point scale instead of a 10.
Oh, rebel!
I give it for a horror flick. I give it a 4.5.
Ooh, Vale, how many sheeps do you give it?
Wait, isn't it sheep?
Oh, yes. How many sheep do you give it?
Just shut up and give your answer.
Just shut up. Okay, let me see. I would give it 9. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with it. I wouldn't go with 9, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go with 9 out of 10 sheep with a lot
with no S.
Of wool.
What? What the hell?
That's how amazing this
movie
was.
Wool become a metric?
For sheep.
Since now.
You know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Don't be judgmental, yeah, Kevin. Yeah. God damn.
I'm just trying to understand what's happening.
All right, so I think we're good for now with everything that we talked about in this podcast. And now, you know it, it's coming, the question of the week. Oh yeah, remember to leave your answer in the comments of the YouTube comment section, #Q, and leave your answer right there, you know. Let us know, which Game of Thrones character would you want to shag?
Hell, can you get any more adorable? I don't think it's possible.
To shag.
I was trying to be all
yeah,
shag.
Baby. England has rubbed off on you with the shag.
You underestimate the power of the dark side.
No. Now it ends.